You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 20th of November. NBA Free Agency Day is here. What can the Utah Jazz do? What will the league do? And I let you build the trades. Seven creative ideas are coming at you. It's all next on Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan. The free agency day is here at 4 o'clock our time. Signings are legally allowed to start. So what will happen in NBA free agency and where do the Jazz sit? Let's walk through it and talk about it. And then we'll talk about the trades. I asked you on Twitter, if you follow me, it's at Locked On Sports. Instagram, you can follow me at DLock09. I asked you to build trades. Some people were very creative. And then we'll talk about the league as a whole and what I see coming. All right, if you have listened to Dennis Lindsay, Justin Zanuck, David Morway in press conferences, they all talk about the same thing, so at some point we should listen. They talk about how the Utah Jazz went defensively from the number two team in the league at 105.3 to 109.3, 4 points worse per game defensively last year than we did before. And that is the focus of what the Jazz want to do and how to become a better team. That this free agency period is a look at what the Jazz can do defensively to get better. So that is the edict, clearly. Now, the draft pick of Azubuike seems to be heading in that direction a little bit. If you look at last year as a whole, when Rudy Gobert, it was on the floor, we were 8 points better defensively than we were when Rudy Gobert was off the floor. So that is as important as, you know, there's the biggest difference. Joe Ingles was super important to us defensively, but frankly, you know, if you look around on our team, we've moved Ed Davis yesterday. It didn't work out. We were 7 points worse with him on the floor defensively. That was supposed to be okay. Tony Bradley, we've moved. We were actually 7 points worse with Tony Bradley on the floor defensively. If we're going to get better defensively, a large part of it is going to be what do we do with Rudy and when Rudy's off the floor. So, that's the first part. If we're going to get better defensively and you start kind of looking at our lineups, and when we took Rudy off the floor, we had a hard time defending. So we made the first step with Azubuike, but he might not be entirely ready. You also look at our roster right now. By the way, without Rudy on the floor last year, for the season with Rudy off the floor last year, our defense was in the 16th percentile of all defenses in the NBA. 16th. When Rudy was on the floor last year, the best defensive player in the world, our defense was 80th percentile, 107.4. Not what's important about that is that's not as good as it was a year ago. When Rudy was on the floor the year before, it was a 104.1, 96th percentile. Some of that is because Favors and Gobert played together and we were unbelievable defensively, but even Gobert without Favors was a 105.4, just as good in the 92nd percentile. So two things could have happened there that are important. One is the league could have shifted a little bit. They're playing a little bit more out, you know, pulling Rudy out and there's some area. Or just in general, the loss of Jay Crowder to Bojan Bogdanović, playing Royce O'Neal and Joe Ingles at the four, though that could have been it. Because when Rudy Gobert and Jay Crowder were on the floor last year, our defense was a 106.2. 88th percentile. That's probably more importantly. In the 88th percentile. When we were in 1920, when Rudy was on the floor with Bojan, We are a good offensive team, no question. The defense was a 107.3 in the 81st percentile. So close, but not quite as good. So our offense was great. We're in the 92nd percentile, and we were just great. So that's the focus. How do we get back to being a top five, top 10 defensive team? And if we can maintain our offense, then we're great. Well, if you look at the roster, and you start playing with minutes on the roster, Mike Conley probably plays 28 minutes a night. Donovan Mitchell probably plays 34. Joe Ingles is 33, so we'll give him 28 minutes a night. Royce O'Neal, we bring him back down to about 24. Jordan Clarkson at about 24. That's low on some of those guys. That is 138 of the 144 available minutes for those three positions. Now, we can get a few more minutes out of Ingles by sliding him to the four, but at 33 years old, he's guarding bigger guys, and Royce can slide to the four and get a few more minutes. There's no question that we can do a few more things there and get those guys some more minutes. But if you're, Donovan played 34 last year, Joe played 34, Rudy played 34, Joe played 30. Boyan played 33, Royce played 29. I brought him down to 24, probably too little. Mike played 29 right where he was, and Jordan played 24. So it's about right. So those minutes, there's like six extra minutes there. Now maybe there's, if Elijah Hughes or Oney establishes themselves as being a rotation player and good enough on the wing defense, maybe you slide some minutes there. Obviously, this assumes we're re-signing Jordan Clarkson, which is, in all indications, the first priority. But the Jazz have made enough moves by getting Ed Davis traded to do the Knicks, by moving Tony Bradley, by sliding down in the draft, that they actually have suddenly enough space under the apron to use the mid-level exception and get a player. It's going to be difficult, and I'll explain why in a minute. But where is that player? Well, Rudy's playing 34 minutes a night, and Boyan's playing about 33 minutes a night. It leaves you about 28 minutes there. Can you find either in free agency two players that each play about are willing to play 15 minutes a night? Or can you find someone who can slide between the four and the five? Or do you find a pretty good four? So let's say this is Paul Millsap, and you're sliding Boyan down into those 144 minutes that we just talked about. And so Boyan is now playing. Actually, there is no time left there, right? Like, we're now overloaded with players there. Because if you go sign Paul Millsap and expect him to play, 18 minutes a night, Boyan's got to be playing some of those minutes in those wing minutes, and we actually now are full. Conley, Mitchell, Ingles, O'Neal, Clarkson, Boyan taking some. Now, not a lot. If you sign someone like Jamichael Green, maybe Jamichael Green is able to play those four, and he can play some five, but this gets to a question that I asked Justin Zanuck and David Morway the other night at the press conference, which is, do we want to play the same way for 48 minutes? And Justin kind of didn't entirely say it. David basically said yes. So as you look at the free agents and you talk about a Jamichael Green, who's interesting to me, you can't really play drop big defense with Jamichael Green if you play him at the five. Aaron Baines, sign him as a backup center. You can play that drop big and you find another four. And I don't know if you can split your mid-level exception between that and another. Like, do you suddenly decide, Taj Gibson and Aaron Baines, and you split between the two of them? There's always Favors. You can play him as the backup center. And then you're back to playing Favors and Rudy some together at the four. And now you got to ask yourself, does that work better because Mike Conley can shoot better than Ricky Rubio, because Donovan's become a better shooter, and because Boyan is out on the floor as the three, or Joe Ingles is on the three, and you're just a much better shooting team? Now that's, part of the problem in the Derek Favors, Rudy Gobert lineup that Ricky Rubio, a non-shooter, was the point guard. We'll touch on that when we continue. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market with incredible macros and great taste and 100% chocolate. That's 100% chocolate. I can't eat nuts, so my favorites are all the mini brownies, the coconut chocolate, the orange chocolate. Those are my favorites. The guys on the staff love the peanut butter as well as the chocolate, the almond coconut, which they say tastes like an almond joy. Go to BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON, and you get yourself 20% off your order. That's BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON, and you get 20% off your order. Real estate market is going crazy. And the old model is that the buyer and the seller each lose 3% of the deal so that you can end, so that the real estate agents can get their commission. Well, that's getting to be an awful lot. In fact, it's getting to be too much. And that's why Homey has come into the marketplace and changed the way they do it. On a $300,000 home, that 6% is $18,000 for helping you sell that home. $18,000 on a $300,000 home. By the way, you can do this math. It's $36,000 on a $600,000 home. So that's where Homey comes in. A set fee, and they work to get you $5,000 back when you're on the buy side. When you're selling, they do a set fee. So go to Homey.com. Or text LOCK to 88588 and find out what Homey can do for you. They are still giving you an agent. They are still touring your dream homes, making offers, negotiating the best deal, working to get you that $5,000 back at the end. You're getting an experienced local Homey agent who can help you every step of the way. Text LOCK to 88588 and find out how Homey is revolutionizing the real estate market. Text LOCK to 88588. There's a reason why this is going to be very difficult to get done, but let's go back and look at the 18-19 lineups of the Utah Jazz for a second. And if we take Ricky Rubio, we'll put Ricky Rubio on the floor with Derek Favors and Rudy Gobert and wonder whether or not that's the reason this team struggled so badly offensively. You had three non-shooters. Having two non-shooters is unique. Well, yes. When they were all on the floor together, the Jazz offense was a 105.3 in the 17th percentile. When Ricky Rubio, specifically with Donovan and Joe Ingles, which was the starting lineup, our offensive rating was a 103.3 and was in the 19th percentile of all offenses. Crazy! It was still positive. Both of those were positive because Ricky Rubio was that, they were that good defensively. If you take Ricky Rubio off the floor, there aren't as many minutes here. There's only 378 possessions. The offense still wasn't very good. So there's no data to show this. Donovan Mitchell was an inexperienced point guard playing with Royce O'Neal and Joe Ingles. Howell Neto was playing Donovan and Joe. Dante Exum was on the floor. That was a disaster when we did that. The defense was still incredible. I mean, there's no question. Those Favors Gobert lineups together, you just couldn't score. But we couldn't score either, right? 98th percentile defensively, 101.1. The offense was in the 12th percentile. As you look at free agency and you try to find this, at least that model, I'm not saying necessarily Derek, but just the model, do you believe that Bojan Bogdanović and Mike Conley's shooting is so much better that you end up with a serviceable offense and elite level defense? Because frankly, that does fill your 30 minutes there on the roster. Now, there aren't a lot of other centers. Bobby Portis maybe, Serge Ibaka maybe, though most people think Serge Ibaka is just a five now, not a four. Who could do those things? Here's where I think all of these scenarios get very difficult for the Jazz. 1-year contracts are going to be handed out with a lot of money on it. teams, New Orleans Pelicans, trying to figure out how they're building this roster and what they're doing right now. Jackson Hayes is developing, but I'm guessing that they're awfully willing to pay a lot of money right now to allow for Derek Favors' one-year, $15 million deal. And if you give Derek Favors a one-year, $15 million deal, then the Jazz probably have to roll out a three-year, $27 million deal to make it worth it. Same thing, I think, on Paul Millsap. I think that you could... Now, if you're in a bidding war with Portland, you both have the same thing to deal with. And that is, you know, the mid-level exception, just who's going to go to years. Are you willing to give Paul Millsap 3 years if they give him two? And are you willing to go to, if Denver goes to a one-year 14, they'll probably get close to the tax, so I'm not sure they can do this. Are you willing to go to a three-year 27? That's where this is going to get very difficult for the Jazz in free agency, is that how are they going to be able to get enough on the market if people are allowed to go, willing to go 1 year, big deal. Clippers and Jamichael Green, Clippers and Marcus Morris. Teams, I think, are going to be willing to go right up to the tax with 1 year deals. The Jazz are limited by what they can do in regards to, because of, they can just do the mid-level exception. And so the only answer on that is years. We'll see. Joe Harris, same concept, though I think Brooklyn will just pay Joe Harris. There are going to be some interesting minimum players. Alex Len, John Henson as centers will be minimum contracts. Wayne Ellington, Garrett Temple will be low number contracts. You know, if you're just looking for some veteran depth. The Jazz did extend Jarrell Brantley the other day, so that's a part of the piece of the puzzle. All right, let's go to some of your trade ideas, which I thought were creative. I thought you guys are good. You get it. You know, I don't like talking about trading our own players, but I know this is what everybody loves, so let's do it. So the first idea was Spencer Dinwiddie for Royce O'Neal and Nigel Williams-Goss. So it's really Royce O'Neal for Spencer Dinwiddie. Royce at 4 years, $8.5 million. So the first reason Brooklyn's not going to do this deal is because they're waiting to use Spencer Dinwiddie to get James Harden. But it's an interesting concept, right? So Brooklyn would get a defensive player as a spot-up shooter. Dinwiddie's more of a scorer, would add a little bit of a juice to us. We would lose our physical toughness, and Royce probably not, you know, I don't know who knocks it down a little bit more. But it's an interesting concept. If Brooklyn is worried that between Kyrie and Durant and they can't get Harden, that Spencer and Caris LeVert, that Spencer Dinwiddie's going to be unhappy and not get enough touches. It is also, where it's also very interesting to me from a Jazz standpoint, is you do this deal, you actually don't re-sign Jordan Clarkson, and now you do use the full mid-level exception on someone to play your four. Or to play your 4-5, right? So suddenly you'd be Conley, Mitchell, Ingles, Dinwiddie as your four guards. Boyan, if you sign a four, slides down to play some of those minutes in there. And you're now signing a 4-5-4 or a four to get bigger and get better defensively. You lose a lot of toughness with Royce. But it's an interesting, it's well done. Mike Conley to Chicago for Thad Young and Zach LaVine. I would lie if I hadn't actually played with this one on the trade machine. So this one is interesting because Chicago could decide they want to do it if they really are just trying to rebuild under a brand new front office. They get out from under a year of Thad Young. They get out from under a year of Zach LaVine. From the Jazz standpoint, you get a little longer at the four. Thad Young does not spread the floor, but he's a pretty decent player. He doesn't shoot the three. He's really a throw in here. And you're gambling that Zach LaVine is the perfect complement next to Donovan Mitchell. And you're now playing Donovan Mitchell, Zach LaVine, Joe Boyan, Thad Young, Rudy Gobert. It's interesting. You know, let's not forget something. We're going to have a lot of Mike Conley proposals. Let's not forget how good Mike Conley was in the last part of the season, how good he was in the bubble, what a difficult transition it was for him last year, and how good he might be this year. I mean, there's a real chance that Mike Conley is going to be very, very good this year. So as the next three or four trades all come across, everyone's trading Mike Conley. I get it. He's got $31 million on his contract. It's the most fun to play in the trade machine. But let's not forget that Mike Conley could be pretty good. Though this one's interesting to me because I love Zach LaVine. Now, Zach LaVine does not play hard all the time. Zach LaVine does not play defense. Zach LaVine and Jim Boylan did not get along. Zach LaVine has been known to be a selfish player. Zach LaVine gets the line a great amount of time, shoots a ton of threes, is an elite-level athlete. And if you believe you can engage Zach LaVine in this next stage of his career, he could be a tremendous player. You're also, though, the one thing on this one, if you've maxed out Rudy and you've maxed out Donovan, you're going to have a hard time maxing out Zach LaVine in 2 years. So you better make sure you believe you're really winning with this team in the next 2 years, because I'm not sure that you can re-sign Zach LaVine at that point. You might actually have to trade Zach LaVine in 18 months. It's interesting, though. That lineup is now Donovan, LaVine, Ingles, or Boyan, Thaddeus Young, and Rudy Gobert, with Joe Ingles as your backup point guard off the bench. With you probably don't re-sign Jordan Clarkson. You probably could, actually. You still could. You do. You re-sign Jordan Clarkson there because you don't need to grab a four. With your bench unit being Clarkson, Ingles, Thad Young, Azubuike, or some center you sign with some money. It's interesting. I like it. You guys are good at this. PJ Tucker for Davis, who got traded already, George Niang and Nigel Williams-Goss. P.J. Tucker has a one-year, $8 million deal. Not sure why Houston does that unless you're throwing in picks. But I love that everyone's obsessed with getting P.J. Tucker. P.J. Tucker, at this point in his career, might actually be a 15-minute-a-night player. Back to the 48-minute concept, I think you got to be careful about trying to play two different styles. The more I talk to people around the league, the more the discussion is that you actually play the same style all 48 minutes. All right, four more of these coming up. All of them involve Mike Conley. One of them is awful. One is not realistic. Another one's worth discussing. Today's show is brought to you in part by Shamrock Auto. Rob Taylor. Not Rob Thomas, but Rob Taylor. And the guys at Shamrock. Rob opened up Shamrock out in Pleasant Grove because he wanted to change the way everyone had as their car experience. And he's done it. It's fun. He and Brady Kimball are there. It's a limited staff. They get you in and out. It's fast. They have an old-time technician. Long-time technician was his first hire, so that when he's going to auctions and he's buying cars, he knows exactly what he's getting. And as he says, we're a lean company. We have few employees. Our margins are too tight. We can't afford to have a salesperson work hours with you. We'll give you final pricing in 5 minutes. No salesman on a test drive. No long pitches. Let's go. No gimmicks. Let's do it. Rob's favorite thing are two things. People who call him up and say, I'm really looking for this car specifically, and he goes and gets it. Or two, those people who come from out of state because they had such a great experience that they want to stay. Make sure you tell them that you've read Locked On Jazz. You'll get family and friends pricing. Call Rob at 801-319-2250. That's Rob's number, 801-319-2250. Go lead the reviews under Google and everywhere else about Shamrock Auto, and it will make it worth your time to drive down to Pleasant Grove. 50% of Shamrock's business comes from prior customers. They come because Shamrock takes care of their customers. They're completely upfront and transparent. They have nice cars, and they make the buying process easy. They have the Utah County Assault Vehicles. They are is the majority of their cars on stock, but as I said, you can call Rob and tell him you're looking for something specific, and he can go find it. 801-319-2250. That's 801-319-2250. All right, the next one was Mike Conley to Orlando for Aaron Gordon and Terrence Ross. So this is interesting. This gets Orlando out from under 2 years of 18 under Aaron at $18 million a year to Aaron Gordon and 3 years, 14 for Terrence Ross. It puts the Jazz in some cap problems with a max contract to Donovan Mitchell and to Rudy Gobert. It gives the Jazz an interesting lineup of Donovan Mitchell, Royce O'Neal, Bojan Bogdanovic, Aaron Gordon, and Rudy Gobert with a bench unit of Joe Ingles, Terrence Ross. Could probably decide to re-sign Jordan Clarkson at that point. So that's interesting. You could play Azubuike as your center, or you sign a minimum, have Gordon and Boyan split the 4 minutes with playing down. I love Aaron Gordon's athleticism. I feel like he can handle. I love all these things about him. He's kind of in the same Zach LaVine category. He better show he can play the game to win. I can't get out of my head that we were playing them last year. They were on like an 8-0 run. Vukovic had scored like 7 straight points. They were totally kicking our ass and taking control of the game. And he got a rebound 4 seconds up the court and pulled up for a pull-up 3 and bricked it. We went back the other way. I actually think the game settled for a little while, but you could just see it completely. I remember at the time, I visibly noticed that it deflated the rest of the Orlando team. And seriously, just made me wonder, like, where's the feel and the recognition and what's this about? Probably got to get over that, but it's an interesting possibility. Orlando's being talked about with Russell Westbrook, and I'm sure Aaron Gordon would be a large piece of that. The other one on that one, by the way, just kind of out of interest, is doesn't match for us perfectly, but the money matches on Al Farouk on that one as well. So that's an interest again. Like, hey, great work. Like, that's exactly what it's about. Orlando just drafted Cole Anthony, so that seems less likely, by the way, also. But, you know, hey, it also gets them off a bunch of years. In the 3 years, Terrence Ross might be better than 2 years, Al Farouk. Mike Conley to Indiana for Victor Oladipo and TJ Warren. This one, actually, Indiana just would never trade TJ Warren. They might do it for Doug McDermott. Do they, you know, this is their decision that Aaron Holiday's not good enough point guard. They also have another point guard on the roster I can't think of right now. Victor is claiming he wants in, but maybe he doesn't. You're really trading 1 year contract for 1 year contract. If Victor Oladipo is healthy, he is a perfect guard to have next to Donovan Mitchell. There's no question. I just don't know if he's healthy. I don't think you could get this done with TJ Warren. I do think the question of whether or not just guys on the final year of their contracts, Mike Conley might fit better for Indiana and where their roster is right now. And, Victor Oladipo might fit better for the Utah Jazz and where their roster is right now. The money isn't, you know, you got to put in an extra $10 million somehow out of Indiana, but it's not a crazy concept. Like, I could see a reasonable conversation being had there that Mike Conley's still really good and could be very good for Indiana as their point guard. And Victor Oladipo, if he's off his leg injury, could be really good for next to Donovan Mitchell, and then you're not as small. So yes, it's got an interesting concept to it. Mike Conley to Detroit for Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin, I don't know if he can play anymore. But again, that's the same concept, right? Mike Conley works for them. They need a point guard. They've been using Ish Smith. They're trying to develop. Blake Griffin for them is this big contract. If you believe Blake Griffin could play, he becomes your 4 next to Rudy. He needs a lot of possessions. I love Blake Griffin. I would have lost my job as a general manager. I would have traded for Blake Griffin a million times over. I would have signed Blake Griffin. I would have done everything to get Blake Griffin a few years ago and would have lost my job by now as a GM in the NBA because I just don't think he can move and play anymore. It's really sad. But I think that one's unlikely. The concept, again, is similar to the Victor Oladipo concept where you're taking guys in the last year of their contracts and putting them in better fits. You know, Detroit's on a complete rebuild, so I'd feel really terrible for Mike. Again, I'll go back to what I said last segment. Mike was really good in the bubble. Mike was really good at the end of last year. Mike's going to be really good next year. But I get it. We're asking trades, and like, you know, it's interesting. Nobody sent me a Joe Ingles trade. So, and everybody sent me every other player being traded, except for Donovan, Rudy, and Joe Ingles were like the 3 players nobody will trade. So Joe has definitely won over the marketplace because Royce and Mike, you know, there's no need to trade them. Somebody traded Boyan in another trade. The most creative award goes to a 3-way deal that had Russell Westbrook going to the Clippers, Mike Conley and Ed Davis, who obviously been moved, went to various places. And the Jazz end up with Pat Beverly, Zubac, and Marcus Morris on a 3-year, $45 million deal. I don't know that this actually makes us any better. In fact, I don't know. Like, Patrick Beverly instead of Mike Conley is a downgrade, I think. Beverly's getting older and having a hard time staying healthy, and he's really little, and he wants the ball in his hands and can't shoot like Mike can off the ball. Zubac is you're trading for him to play 14 minutes behind Rudy, which is interesting because now you're playing 48 minutes the same way, and you're paying $15 million a year for Marcus Morris, which is a lot. But it gets the power forward situation at least covered. So you guys are really good. I thought they were all interesting. Congratulations. I love the fact that the ideas are good enough to work and they're all salary cap fit. And they all, you know, they frankly, at all some point in time in some front office somewhere, they were probably all talked about. A few things to watch today in the free agency. Gallinari, Jeremy Grant, and Fred VanVleet are the three most interesting names. Obviously, Giannis could sign his extension today. Atlanta is everyone's pawn right now. They have $44 million. New York has $41. The Gordon Hayward situation is fascinating. My guess on Gordon Hayward is New York. I wrote a whole thing on it on Twitter today at Lockdown Sports on why. So if you want to go to my Twitter and read at Lockdown Sports, I think Gordon Hayward ends up with the Knicks. And I think the thing to watch early is the price value of one-year contracts. In other words, Favors, Millsap, Taj Gibbs, player Jamichael Green. If big number one-year contracts are going out, it's going to be tough for the Jazz to be able to add pieces to the puzzle along the way. So that's the one I would keep an eye on for you out there. All right, that is our free agent trade primer. Enjoy it. If I have to do a super special Locked On Jazz, I will. Hope you're having a great day. Have a wonderful weekend. Be safe. Thanks for tuning in to Locked On Jazz. Hollinger and Duncan are out with a brand new episode with all the free agent primers. There's nobody better than Nate and John on that. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.